Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Let us hear God's holy word. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, which I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, all of us know what it is to be called. We receive calls on our cell phone, perhaps more often than we'd like sometimes. Children, when it's time for supper, mom or dad calls us to the table. Or when it's getting dark and you're playing outside, they call you to come in. Moms are often called by their children if they need something or if they have misplaced something, and mom always seems to know where it is. Ministers sometimes receive calls to serve in other congregations. But have you ever been called by God? Maybe you think that's a strange question. Called by God? Who is called by God? Well, Samuel was. As we learned in our scripture reading, Samuel was the son of Elkanah and Hannah. And we're introduced to them in chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. There we are told that Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah, we are told, had children, but Hannah had none. And one day, while Elkanah and his wives were worshiping the Lord in Shiloh, Hannah besought the Lord to give her a son, promising to dedicate him to the service of the Lord. And as it turned out, the Lord answered Hannah's request. He gave her a son, Samuel, and as soon as the child was weaned, Hannah brought him to the tabernacle at Shiloh, as she had promised. Well, for the next few years, Samuel served the Lord in the temple under the watchful eye of Eli the high priest. And then one night, something strange happened. Shortly after everyone had gone to bed, Samuel heard a voice. Samuel, Samuel. It was the voice of God. Samuel was being called by God. And it's to that event that we turn our attention with the Lord's help. Our theme this morning is Samuel called by God. And we'll consider, first of all, the dark circumstances behind this call. Secondly, the mysterious manner of this call. And thirdly, the humble answer to this call. The events of our text took place at a dark time in the history of Israel, both politically and spiritually. Politically, Israel was very weak. The Philistines, who lived on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea to the west of Israel, were a constant threat. They made frequent raids into their territory, but Israel was unable to do anything about it. From time to time, during the period of the judges, they succeeded in repelling these attacks, but whatever victories they scored were short-lived. Israel was also weak spiritually. To be sure, a tabernacle had been erected at Shiloh, but the people continued to worship their idols. What is more, the priesthood was corrupt. The priests Hophni and Phinehas stole meat that was given for sacrifices, making men abhor the service of the Lord. They also had sexual relations with the women who came to the tabernacle. And although their father Eli feared the Lord, he failed to put a stop to these abuses. To make matters worse, we read in our text chapter in verse 1 that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now, before the completion of the scriptures, the Lord regularly spoke to his people, usually through a prophet, but sometimes directly. At times, he even appeared to them in the form of an angel or in a theophany, some kind of visible representation of God. But up until this time, the time of Samuel, the Lord hardly appeared to his people at all, nor had he spoken to them through the mouths of his prophets. It seemed as though the Lord had turned his back on his own people. Now, in many ways, we live in such a time today. Much of the world today, including the Western world, has turned its back on God. The principles upon which our society was founded have largely disappeared. We have, for the most part, gone our own way and done our own thing. Like the people of Israel, we have given ourselves wholly over to the worship of idols. And as a result, it appears as though the Lord has turned his back on us. And the state of the church today is not much better. There is so little true piety and godliness today. And what spiritual life there is, it seems a mile wide, but only an inch deep. There's also much false teaching. Many are being led astray. Spiritually, the times are very dark. And at such times, it's easy to become pessimistic and to see no hope for the future. But as is often the case, just when it seems things cannot get much worse, the Lord comes to our rescue. He reveals himself, and sometimes in ways that we never thought possible. And that brings us to our second point. It was, as we have said, a dark time in Israel, politically and spiritually. And just when it appeared things could not get any darker, a ray of light suddenly appeared. The Lord revealed himself again to his people. We read of that in verses 2 through 10 of our text chapter. And there we read that before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. Reference here is made to the lamp of God. It's possible that this is to be taken literally. If that is the case, then what we have here is simply a time reference. It was late at night, just before the lamps in the tabernacle were snuffed out. But it's also possible that the phrase "lamp of God" is to be taken metaphorically, as representing God's revelation. And if that's the case, then the writer here is referring to the fact that the revelation of God was almost completely lost. This is corroborated by the fact that earlier in this verse, the comment is made that Eli's eyes had become so dim that he could not see. Not only could Eli not see physically, but, and this seems to be the implication, he could not see spiritually. And as a result, he was no longer the one through whom God would speak. But whatever the case, it was late at night. Everyone, including Eli, his sons, and Samuel, were fast asleep. Suddenly, Samuel was awakened by a voice. And the voice said one word. He called out to Samuel, "Samuel." Naturally, when Samuel heard this voice, he assumed it was Eli. After all, Eli was very old. Maybe he needed some help with something. Maybe he lost something, or his blanket had fallen off the bed, or he needed a drink of water. Samuel didn't know. But as soon as he was called, he went to present himself to Eli. And we read in verse 5, "And he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" Notice that he ran. Samuel, as young as he was, did not dilly-dally. Children, he did not pretend not to hear, as some of you do when mom or dad calls you to do something. No, as soon as he was called, he came. And what an example he is to all of us. But much to his surprise, Eli did not know why Samuel had come. "I did not call you," he said. "Go and lie down again." And Samuel did. But a little while later, Samuel heard the same voice. "Samuel." And so for the second time, Samuel ran to Eli and presented himself. "Here I am," he said, "for you called me." But again Eli assured him that he did not call him, and he told him once more to go back to bed. Well, at this point, the text informs us in verse 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now, this does not mean that Samuel was unconverted. We know that because in chapter 2, verse 26, we read that Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. No, this simply means that Samuel had never heard the Lord speaking to him before. He had never received a divine revelation. This was a new experience to him, which probably explains why he thought the one who was calling him was Eli. Well, after coming to Eli the second time, Samuel again went to lie down. But a few minutes later, he heard the voice again. "Samuel." And so for the third time, Samuel went to Eli. But by this time, Eli realized what was happening. Although he had many weaknesses and shortcomings, Eli had enough spiritual insight to realize that the one who was calling him was none other than the Lord himself. Now, needless to say, that must have been very humiliating for Eli. After all, he was the high priest. If God had anything to say, he should say it through him, not through a young boy. Especially as we find out in verses 11 to 14, since the message concerned himself and his sons. But Eli knew that he had fallen out of favor with God. The man of God had told him as much in the previous chapter, and therefore he accepted the slight gracefully. He even advised Samuel what he must do. We read in verse 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now we learn from all of this that no one is too young to be called by the Lord. Consider young Samuel. We do not know how old Samuel was when the Lord called him, but he was probably no more than 5 to 10 years of age. And yet, in spite of his youthfulness, the Lord was pleased to have dealings with him. In fact, he passed by old Eli to have dealings with young Samuel. Now, like Samuel, we too have been called by God. You say, how? Well, not with an audible voice, obviously. God does not speak to us directly anymore. And yet he still calls. How does he do this? Well, he does this in several ways. He calls us through providence. When we are laid low with an injury, a sickness, or a disease, the Lord is calling us. When we are suffering a financial setback, or when we are blessed financially, the Lord is calling us. When we lose a loved one suddenly through an accident or illness, the Lord is calling us. When we undergo a severe testing or trial, the Lord is calling us. God calls us through his providences. He also calls us through his word, especially through the preaching of his word. In the preaching, God may be calling us to faith and repentance in Christ for the first time or again. He may be calling us to holiness. He may be calling us to an act of service, or to avoid a certain temptation, or to take a certain course of action, or to make a certain decision. Whatever the case may be, God does call through his word. The question is, do you hear him? He is calling your name even now in this sermon. Do you hear him? Oh, do not delay. Be quick and answer before it is too late. Samuel was called by the Lord. Well, how did Samuel respond to this call? That brings us to our third and final point. After mistakenly thinking for the third time that Eli had called him, Samuel once again returned to his bed. A while later, however, he heard his name being called again, this time twice. Samuel, Samuel. The fact that the Lord here repeats Samuel's name is highly significant. When God called Moses, he then also repeated his name. And he does the same here. God repeats Samuel's name, not just to get his attention, but perhaps to indicate that he is to become the new Moses, the new prophet of the Lord who would restore Israel to righteousness. Notice, too, that our text says that God stood and called. And this suggests that unlike the previous three times that God called Samuel, now the voice proceeded from an actual figure, or at least a shape of some kind. And by means of this shape, God sought to assure Samuel that it was not Eli who had called him, but God himself. Well, after hearing his name, Samuel did not run to Eli as he did the previous times. This time, he simply stayed where he was. And he said, "Speak, for your servant hears," the exact words that Eli instructed him to speak. Now, we have a lot to learn from Samuel here. We learn, first of all, that when God calls, we should respond, and we should do so immediately. And isn't that exactly what Samuel did? He responded to God the same way he responded to Eli, immediately, without question. My friends, have you done the same? How many times has God not called you? In his providence, in the preaching of the word, and have you not responded to him? Perhaps you make all kinds of excuses, like Jonah or the people in the parable who were invited to the great supper. You say, "Oh, I will respond to the Lord, but not now. Perhaps when I am older. Now I want to live it up and enjoy all that life has to offer." Or you make all kinds of excuses and set down all kinds of conditions. And you say, "Oh yes, I will respond to the Lord, but first I must experience more of my sin. First I must know whether I am one of the elect. First, I must become more holy, or I must become more serious. And until that happens, I will not, I cannot come to the Lord. My friend, you need to stop doing that. The time to respond to God's call is right now. The Bible says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. The emphasis is on today. Why today? Because tomorrow may never come. You could die this very day and appear before the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an account of how you responded to the many callings that you have received from the Lord. And therefore, my friend, take instruction from young Samuel. Respond to the Lord today while there's still time. Secondly, we learn that when God calls, we should respond in the right way. And how did Samuel respond? He said, speak, for your servant hears. Notice how Samuel refers to himself. He calls himself the Lord's servant. Why did he do that? Well, because that's what he was. God was his master. Samuel was his servant. God's task was to give the orders. Samuel's task was to receive them and to carry them out. Samuel here demonstrates true humility, doesn't he? He knew he was nothing special. He knew there was nothing to commend him before God. And that's why he refers to himself as a lowly servant, as the Apostle Paul did later in the New Testament. My friend, is that how you see yourself today? We so often have much higher views of ourselves than we ought to have. But when the Lord works in the heart, he teaches us that we are nothing and that we deserve nothing. We are no better than a servant. And so Samuel was called by the Lord, and he responded immediately and in humility. Well, what did the Lord want from him? What did he want Samuel to do? He wanted to let Samuel know what he was going to do. And we have a record of this in verses 11 through 21. And there we read these words. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. God here informs Samuel that he will punish Eli and his house because of the iniquity of Eli's sons. Now that could not have been easy for Samuel to hear. It's likely that Samuel loved Eli, and Eli loved Samuel. But Samuel also saw the wicked things that Hophni and Phinehas were doing, and therefore he must have understood that what God said was only just and right. Well, whatever the case, our text chapter informs us that the next morning Samuel was afraid to tell Eli what God had told him. But when Eli insisted, he told him everything and held nothing back. Eli must have known that this day was coming, but now he heard it with his own ears, and he submitted himself to God's will. He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. But this was only the beginning. God would reveal many things to Samuel in the years to come, and Samuel faithfully communicated these things to the people of Israel. In fact, in verses 19 and following, we read that Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so we see that after a long period of spiritual darkness and silence, the Lord again revealed himself to his people. He remembered his people, even though many of them had forgotten him. And in this respect, Samuel points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greater Samuel. Like Samuel, Christ too, as the ultimate prophet of the Lord, was called by God. He was called from all eternity to accomplish the work that the Father had given him to do. And he did this work. After a long period of spiritual darkness and silence, Christ came to this earth. He fully revealed the will of God to the Jewish people. He also suffered and died on the cross, so that his people might be reconciled to God and receive the gift of everlasting life. Like Samuel, he was faithful to his father in all things, only he was absolutely perfect and sinless. God called his son, and now his son is calling us, in his word and in the preaching of this sermon. He is calling us to turn from our sins, to believe on his name, that we might be saved. Oh, my friend, do you hear him today? Do you hear him calling you? Have you also responded to him in faith? Those who do will receive a rich reward. They will receive the pardon of all of their sins and the gift of everlasting life. But those who do not will be condemned for all eternity. My friend, which will it be for you? How will you respond to Christ's call today? Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or feel free to give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio, that's all one word, BannerOfTruthRadio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your prayerful and loving support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.